Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, lawyer.
Yes, sir. Shalom.
All right, 1 second. Almost done everything. Last but not least, that Word document. Let's get to edify. The greatest gift is to edify. This is so whack. I'll leave that. And where are you, lawyer? Right here. Skype, come on, where's Skype at? All right, there go, lawyer. Yeah, it's better. All right, let's go. Excellent. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. All right, last but not least, we're going to start here. And there, where am I? I'm at YouTube. Ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it. All right, Hebrew and Bible Academy is here. All right. Check 1, 2. All right. Lesson and Esau should be there. Yep. All right. Edifying. Yep. Let's go. Check 1, 2. The Hebrew and Bible Academy. You are invited. Let's go. Check 1, 2. Let me cut this all the way down. Yes. Check 1, 2. Wish I had an extension of this. All right, let's go. The Academy. Check one, two. That's right, brothers and sisters. The Hebrew and Bible Academy, you are invited, which starts what? You got it. February 6th, this coming Sunday. Hope to see you there. Brothers and sisters, I had a Patreon to do today, and I'm going to make sure we put up some extra videos unseen for our special Patreon members. So don't worry about it if you're on Patreon. A lot of the videos that was from the classics that could no longer be viewed here on YouTube, we're going to put up snippets and all that. A lot of stuff coming for our loyal Patreon members. Patreon.com/agathering144. So there will not be a Patreon today, but don't worry. I'm going to have a live Patreon next week. A lot of good content, okay? Reading news articles and little things like that, not exactly like the Academy, but quick snippets or whatever, will also be a part of our Patreon. Because I don't think that a lot of brothers and sisters know that the thing that started the cold in 2020 on the CDC site, it says how long they'll be under this particular, as they call it, trial. Okay. So I'm going to be talking about that on Patreon and more. And like we did last week, allow Truman, the natural herbologist, to come on ever so often and give certain help that we can utilize every day in our lives to stay healthy with the natural herbs. But that's not why I'm here before you today, brothers and sisters. Myself and Elder Lawyer came before you today, as you can see, to clear up some misnomers, some false doctrine that's out there. Let me put this thing on silent all the way. To clear up any false doctrine out there concerning Edomites, and to make sure that no one that view our videos concerning Edomites or quote-unquote European white people can put words in our mouth concerning the future of not just white people, but all people, including Israelites. Why? Why am I going here with Edomites, Europeans, edified in the Bible today with Elder Lawyer? Well, number one, I'm going into it because a brother called in the other night who, it seems on the surface, was genuinely curious concerning prophecies of Edomites, to the degree where others was listening to how I interacted with him and was like, Elder Ricard, the brother was, who knows what's going on with the brother? This could be a stumbling block. And this, and the naivety of our people is another reason why we're under the conditions we're under today. Sometimes our people, and the Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. It's to a degree when you hear someone, you don't discern what their true objectives are. You don't discern. And I'm going to play a little bit of this, and I want brothers and sisters to hear some of the comments, and that's why I came here before you. That was on that little clip I broke down, that I broke down correcting a brother who called in concerning the future of Edomites. Why did I deal with them as such? Well, brothers and sisters, this brother called in it before. And see, when we're responsible for making sure the gospel and the truth of the Bible gets out to edify for brothers and sisters who may come into this truth. What you can't have is someone come in, not in good faith, muddy the waters that would confuse the people who might see this video in our absence. So that's up to me as a teacher to discern and understand what's going on when someone is not coming in good faith. Like, for instance, if someone starts a conversation, yeah, Elder Ricarcio, how are you? I don't mean to be contentious, but that means you're coming in with a stance without introducing what that stance, those stances are. And you're coming in a way of innocence when really there's an objective. And this is what people do, brothers and sisters. Listen to me clearly, especially on YouTube and other places, to actually confuse people so that they can build their own platforms and all that. This brother wasn't fairly new. Okay? What y'all don't know is this brother learned under IUIC years ago, and now he's out there doing his own little thing and was trying to use the innocent vibe as a tactic to push a doctrine that I understood and taught over almost 25 years ago. I taught the doctrine he was trying to uphold for 10 years. But that doesn't make me anything. At the end of the day, it's whether or not the gospel of Christ is edified for the Israelites as well as the Gentiles. And that's the stance of this church. Right? So we're going to clear it up. So there's no questions concerning Edomites going forward. For those who don't know about this little clip that was put up, and I'm glad it's there, let's hear a little bit of it, if we may, before I bring in Elder Lawyer. According to what he has acquired, I don't mean to be contentious. I learned some information, Elder Ricarciar, that's confusing me concerning the future of white people or Edomites. Without introducing where did I learn it from, where did it come from, or here's my stance on this, Elder Ricarciar, how can you refute it? Now, that's an honest person who would come forward to say exactly what their stances are instead of saying, I don't mean to be contentious. The brother called before. And when he called before months ago, it was thoroughly broken down for him. Thoroughly. Right? A lot of you don't know that. And the Bible says, after the second or third admonition, one who's an heretic reject. And this is what's going on with the softness and the naivety of our people that don't realize comes the gospel also includes sternness when it comes to standing on the word, knowing that if you allow someone to subtly come through, they'll put some doubt in someone's mind. And next thing you know, these people are all confused. Because I allow on our platform for someone to come through with a full doctrine to muddy the waters. This is why I didn't allow him to jump all over the place. And this has nothing to do with, in defense for me, of white people. Okay? It has nothing to do with that. It has something to do with crisis. Listen clearly. Ricarcio and the Gathering of Christ Church, we don't determine who goes in the Christ's kingdom. He does. So this is where people try to make it personal and try to say that this is a Gathering of Christ Church or a Rekar Shi'ar thing. Let me show you a few of the comments, if we may. We put up a small clip, The Future of the Edomites. Now, the reason why I'm not going to hear this full brother's phone call, and you can hear it when you go to our page on your own, because today we're going to break it all the way down. I'm going to break down what I used to teach before I found the truth. Real quick, it doesn't take long at all. And then I'm going to break down what Christ says concerning his gospel. Okay? Where do the Edomites play in this, or white people, concerning Christ's kingdom? Now, to identify who's Edom, for those who don't know, that the Edomites are, in fact, the Europeans, the EU, the original ten horns that's written up in the book of Daniels. If you think they're Japheth, you're off. If you think they're just Gentiles, you're off. They're Edomites according to the Bible. We have a lesson in the academy called Who's Edom, where we track them from birth into Mount Seir, all the way to Europe, to a degree in where they actually got the throne through Alexander the Great, knowing that they were Edomites. So this is not going to be no full breakdown trying to figure out who the Edomites are. They're not Arabs. Even though Esau had a family with the Ishmaelite daughter. Okay, these aren't Arabs, folks. These are Edomites who linked in with leprous Canaanites. Leprous Canaanites, even though the Canaanites were all dark at first, Edomites linked in with the leprous Canaanites who were what? Who were turned white according to a leprous curse to make a new nation called Edom. I'm going to go into that and more in the Hebrew and Bible Academy, showing you the history that had been hid concerning Esau. They've purposely hidden their true intentions prophetically from the world religiously. But I'll deal with that in the academy. We deal with that like week four, week five. I'm just going to now deal on the surface with that phone call and some of the comments that came from the phone call. We have one comment here where it says, Elder Rekar Shi'ar, I've analyzed these things, and you say in defense of Esau the last couple of years. I must say, you invite controversy on yourself. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 19 and 5. Let me read this. A false witness not be unpunished. And that accuses unjustly shall not escape. That's what the Bible says. See, this is lying through omission by claiming for the last couple of years my defense for Esau. Where have you been? Where have people been? Under a rock somewhere? I'm breaking down what's going on in the earth with all the political administrations that have destroyed our people, historically revealing Esau. Just the other day, I was breaking down the papacy and the lies behind the Roman Catholic Church, who are all head up by European white people. So these are comments not in good faith. Okay? Wrong is wrong and right is right, but I'm going to show you how people disingenuously put words in my mouth. Okay, listen to this clearly. I'm not going to allow someone to lie prophetically on the Bible concerning white people. That's not being in defense for them. That's upholding the gospel of Christ. And I will not do that for black people or anyone else. If you feel a certain type of way against white people personally, that's an individual issue that you must get over. One more here. I don't fully agree with Elder here. The Bible also says we can hate. Hold up. The Bible also says we can hate what God hates. See, this is another disingenuous, straight-up lie on the Bible. Why? Because when I was teaching on the streets, before I received the full understanding of the gospel as an Israelite, that was a quote we created on the street. Saying that what? If God hates the white man, we can hate what he hates. Using a few scriptures, taking it out of context to justify that statement. All right? So I'm going to clear that up too. But let me hear, I'm going to show you how dangerous that doctrine is, that doctrine of hate, hate for any race of people, including white people. I don't fully agree with Elder here. The Bible also says we can hate what God hates. Romans 9:19-13 says that God hates Esau. I personally don't spend my whole day hating them, but I know they are our enemy and do not trust them or get out of my way to be friendly to them. Plus, he didn't even let the caller get two words in before cutting them off every time. Teachers have to be humble too. Well, I've already explained that. The brother called in before, and he was humble. He was humble just like he was this time, right? But now he showed his true colors after the second time he called in. I dealt with him as a young man who I thought didn't know anything, right? So no, it's not me cutting him off. It's not allowing him to muddy the waters, leaving it out there where it's contentious. Nothing get edified, and then he hangs up the call, leaving 2,000, 3,000 people confused. That don't work here. Especially when we have a queue about 20 people waiting, in which a discussion like that must be had in a show in of itself, separate from anything else. So again, that brother that called in, if you want to be on a show as a guest, showing your face, if you want to be on a block with us, showing your face will bring the whole thing where now it's a discussion where you can bring out anything you want without being cut off. But you're going to have to what? You're going to have to address me in good faith, standing on what you believe in first instead of acting as if you are an innocent person just without a doctrine seeking truth. Okay. Now let's get to the next comment. Let's get to another comment. Right? Let's get to another one. There was another good one here. Let me get the other goodie. Let me find the other goodie. Right? So, another thing in a nutshell, because understand we have time constraints and I have phone calls. I have the queue open for phone calls too. Let me just put it this way. A lot of people are getting confused. The servitude or captivity of the Gentiles from salvation. Right? Man, oh yeah, all I got to say is they're going into captivity. They're going into slavery. First of all, teaching the Bible from that premise is incorrect according to God. Elder Lawyer, let's go to 2 Ezra 9:13 and let's start there. Here, what we're going to talk about real quick, then open up the lines. Edomites, the Europeans, edified in the Bible. All right. Now, they was on our thread talking about Yahweh said this and all that. Listen to me clearly, folks. And this is not me puffing myself up or being bigs up or saying that I know more than anyone. All these people that are teaching, Sakari and all these other guys, I taught the doctrine they're teaching in the 90s. at a more effective level. Okay? So it's not me, it's not me, right, attacking that doctrine or whatever the case is. It's not me, I don't have to debate going back and forth with that doctrine. I don't. What I can do is I can show you exactly what I was taught and how I taught it. And then I can show you the truth of Christ's gospel. And at the end of it, the individuals out there make a choice on what's right or wrong. I don't argue back and forth concerning that doctrine because they can't even teach what they're teaching as thorough as I did in the when I was in the 90s teaching it. And that's not me being puffed up or it's none of that. I was very thorough and meticulous when it came to precepts, breaking down everything that was put in front of me. When it came to, that's right, when it came to topics I was well versed on. So I'll listen to them teach and do certain things. Sometimes I scroll through and see, but in my mind said, if they were to use this scripture and that scripture and that scripture, it would have been more effective concerning that particular topic. Because why? Not only did I learn under the Israeli school of UPK, I became a high general in the Israeli Church of UPK. In every aspect of that doctrine, I was and am today an expert at teaching it. So what I try to do is I try to let these brothers understand, listen, you are barking up the wrong tree coming to me with something that I understood and know about thoroughly and taught for decades. Okay, that's the wrong tree to bark up. There's nothing you can do to convince me to go back into that ideology because it's wrong. That's not me being proud of this. That's me caring for these young brothers who are online learning something that they're going to regret the overall outcome on their life by making the decision and following some of this stuff. And I'm trying to save them the time, knowing that there is not much time, of the heartache and pain they're going to go through believing that. Okay? So let me make that clear. There's nothing no one can tell me in any of those groups concerning the future of white people and the Bible. Nothing. Because first of all, you cannot set a doctrine and make that a part of your belief system on what's going to happen to the white man. How do we know this? Elder Lawyer, let's go to 2 Esdras 9 and 13.
Yes, sir. 2 Esdras chapter 9, verse number 13.
Yeah.
And therefore, be not thou curious how the ungodly shall be punished and when, but inquire how the righteous shall be saved.
Hold up. Read that again. Read that again, Elder Lawyer, once more.
Yes, sir. And therefore, be not thou curious how the ungodly shall be punished.
Hold up. Stop right there. That we're not supposed to be curious of how the what?
The ungodly shall be punished.
Of how the ungodly shall be punished. We cannot be what? Read it again, Elder Lawyer.
And therefore, be not thou curious how the ungodly shall be punished.
But what?
And when?
But
inquire how the righteous shall be saved.
But inquire how the righteous shall be saved. Be not curious of how the unrighteous or the ungodly shall be punished, but how the righteous shall be saved. We should more so be focusing on what? Expounding the righteousness of Christ through his word to save people, regardless of the sins of their forefathers. That should be the vantage point we come from first, not making the white man and did this and might did that as an integral part of a ministry. Because if that's being done, you are against God. Why? Because there's a spirit of contrition that can happen through any people. And once they come to the knowledge that they've sinned against God, or their forefathers sinned against God like our forefathers did, what to do with these people? Well, that's where Christ comes in at. Because I'm not inquiring how him listening to me teach of how he's going to be killed and destroyed. I'm inquiring, and I'm doing what? I'm now agreeing with that spirit of contrition. With that person asking, well, what can I do? I can't change what my forefathers did. In the spirit of Christ, letting them know where they fit according to Christ's doctrine. Now, if someone come in not in good faith, like the European or the white guy did on that same show, I'm going to correct him too. The white guy came in talking about colored people and all that. I'm like, well, okay, I see what this guy is. He's a troll. See, I can discern and deal with individuals without making a blanket view on a race of people. That's wrong. Right? Now, Elder Lawyer, let's jump right to it. Suppose we didn't teach Christ's gospel at all like we're teaching concerning all Gentiles, and I'm an Israelite. I'm going back to the time in which I was 25 years old right now. I'm going back to the age of 25. And I'm going to show you real quick. At the age of 25, the ripe age of 25, what I taught concerning Esau, or the European or white man. If a white man comes up, I would show him a picture of Cesar Bogier and ask him, who's this? He would say, Jesus. Okay. Jesus was a black man. Let's go to Daniel 7 and 9, Hebrews 7 and 14, Revelations 1 and 13 on down to prove that Christ had woolly hair. Christ was a black man. Right? And then I would go into, your people are liars. You've lied on us, you lied on Christ, and you're going into captivity. Now, the shock value through that provocation would gain crowds of people. Right? And then I would justify my stance. Christ isn't being spoken of at all. I'm going to show you where Christ comes in at.
Mm-hmm.
Too. Because I would use Christ at the age of 25. I would go here. I would go, do you know you're Esau? I would go to Genesis 25. 21 through 24, the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and he called his name Esau, right? And then I would what? I would attack him by saying that, well, yeah, like Sasquatch, that the best gift for any man, that the greatest gift for him and his people was the Gillette razor, because they're hairy and red. Insult them. Okay? But I'm 25. I'm young. Wet around the ears. Never had an opportunity to just vent and just get it out. And now I'm standing as a black man above the white man, teaching him what his people did wrong. And my neighborhood and the community I'm living in is a wreck. But I told the white man, 25 years of age, and then I go, Elder Lawyer, let's get the Book of Malachi, and let's get, and folks, imagine teaching this Bible to people who don't know the Bible at all. Strictly from this context, I'm about to show that, I'm about to show folks, from the age of 25 up until my mid-30s, I was teaching this. And just imagine teaching people on the street who have never read the Bible at all, don't know the Bible, even if they're Christians, strictly from this vantage point without showing any balance at all. Right? Right? So let me show you. 25-year-old Elder Ricarciar, let's go to... And I would say, white man, this is what the Bible said. Right? Let's go to the Book of Malachi. Let's read it, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir. Malachi 1 and 2. I've loved you, saith the Lord, yet say ye, wherein hast thou loved us?
Come on.
Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob.
Was not Esau Jacob's brother, yet I what? Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. Right? And then what I would do, I would show this, yeah, the Bible loved us. We Jacob. But God hates Esau. Right? Right? I would just teach that, right? Now, that's a shock to some people, even Christians, because Christians aren't told that the Most High possessed that particular emotion. And see, and that's a fault in Christianity, teaching that God is all love. But the shock value of that, you understand, was effective. The fact that God hated it all. And if he does hate, he hate white people. Man, what a shock value, right? So let's go now, Elder Lawyer, Romans 9 and 13.
Romans 9, verse 13.
Now, listen. Now, I'm not doing this in defense for or against anyone, folks.
Right.
I want to put that out there right now so that people cannot minimize the scriptures that we'll be going into here. At the end of the day, ignore what you feel about me or think about me and read the scriptures we're going to show you. Okay? Now, here's testimony of how I did it. It was effective, too. Elder Lawyer, let's go to Romans 9 and 13.
Romans 9, verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
And then I would come back on the street and say, it is written in the New Testament that God loves my people and hate yours. Now, is this true? Absolutely. It's true that God loves Jacob and hate Esau. But we did this without showing the context of how the Most High determined what he loves or what he hates. So disingenuously, we was teaching people that God hates white people just because they're from the bloodline of the white people. And because of that, they're predisposed to do evil. See? I digress because we're going to correct all of that. Here's the context of the hate portion for all Israelites and even Gentiles. Let's find out what hate is or love is according to God. Elder Lawyer, let's get John the first chapter. First John 1 and 5.
First John 1, Is that 1 John 1 and 5?
Yeah, 1 John 1. We can start in the third verse. 1 and 1 all the way down is 5. But
yes,
this is the love
first
of God.
John 1. Oh, you mean 5?
Yeah.
1 John 5?
Yeah. 1 John 5 and 1. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. 1 John 5 and 1.
Read it.
Whosoever believeth that Yeshua is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him.
Come on.
By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
And keep his what? And keep his commandments. So love and hate by God is measured by the commandments that was given to our people. The equitable laws in which the earth should be governed. This is how God determines love or hate. See, when you go in the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, where it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, he also goes down to show that for this cause, for that cause in Romans 9, he set up Esau to be the modern day Pharaoh, that he would set up a vessel of mercy and a vessel for destruction. But is it saying all white people would fall under this destruction? I'm going to edify that soon. But, all right. So now when teaching, a white man asks, well, why does he hate me? It says he hate me as a white man on Edomite. I'm not going to now go into because we went into captivity and this, that, and the other. Because now I'm dealing with what's going on personally with how I view him. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to say this is what God says. Now that I'm older, this is what God says. Not because of what happened to me and this, that, and the other. Because you refuse to restore the pledge. Because your people as Pharaoh refuse to let our people go and restore the pledge. That's why he hates. You continue to break his law and you continue to do the sins of your forefathers. You must repent. Now, what does it mean, restore the pledge? I'm going to go there too. But let's stay here within the framework of hate and love. I'm not just going to leave a person out there without explaining expressly what the Bible means. That brother made a comment on our teaching and said, the Bible says we can hate what God hates. Well, let's see if that's clear according to God. In particular, for white people or Edomites. Other lawyer, let's get Deuteronomy 23 and 7.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 7. Or 23 and 7, Salah.
23 and 7. Now, I'm doing it this way so people can't take it out of context. I'm in defense of white people, and I used to teach this, and what's going on. And I had people even being disingenuous, saying that, well, what you saying, the white man is going to live past 1,000 years? They'll just go into all these things outside of the parameter of what I'm talking about. Why? Because I make it clear according to Christ's gospel and when we teach. Not just my views, but what God says concerning this topic. So they can't speak within the parameters that I have. They must make up stuff. Oh, yeah, man, I heard that you said that, man, you can't wait to enjoy the kingdom with a white man. That's a disingenuous comment. I can't wait to enjoy the kingdom, period, with whoever be there. But suppose someone see that comment. They'll believe I stated that. But I let the stuff stay up because why? Some of this stuff I let stay up because guess what? We all will give account to each word we utter before God in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You can lie on me and say I'm connected to this and I'm defending that because why? You cannot deal with what being brought out. Because if you dealt with the scriptures that I'm bringing forth, right, you would have to now conform. You would have to change. You would rather have a negative view on other people. Why? Because that's, if your eye is evil, your whole body is evil. You need the negative to justify why you're so negative. So when it comes to love or hate, so what they'll do is they try to minimize it, these people, and they'll say, well, Elder Ocasio-Cortez is saying this. They'll try to put words in my mouth and saying, well, because of that, Elder Ocasio-Cortez, I got from what you're saying this. To minimize what the Most High said. Just say hypothetically, everything people we used to teach at 25 was true, that he hates the white man. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We as people are commanded by that same God who said he hates, not to hate Esau. So all that, when you see people make statements and saying, if God hates, we love what God loves, and we can hate what he hates, that person is against God concerning this particular topic of Esau. Now, how do we know that? Tell the lawyer, read Deuteronomy 23 and 7.
Yes, sir. Deuteronomy 23, verse 7.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite.
Read that again.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite.
Now, hold up, Elder Lawyer. I'm going to look up the word abhor in the dictionary. I'm going to look up the word abhor in the dictionary. Elder Lawyer, read the scripture now.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. For he is thy brother.
For he is thy what?
For he is thy brother.
For he is thy brother. Hold that. Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to go to Google and I'm going to type in abhor. What word? What is it? For
abhor.
All the Israelites, for all the people, Jews and Gentiles alike, the word is
abhor.
Abhor means to regard with disgust and hatred. To regard with disgust and hatred. Now, that's the definition. Now, God can hate who he wants to hate because he understands the true context of that according to his word. Hate goes to those who break his law knowingly, consciously, are against him. And at the end of the day, vengeance is his. That's going to be his judgment for those who don't repent from their evil. See? Now, God can hate and love who he wants, but Israelites are commanded not to hate Esau. Read it again, Elder Lawyer.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother.
For he is thy what?
Thy brother.
He's your brother.
Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land.
And we are not to abhor. And see, here they go now. Hey, don't worry about it. Yurok, please don't delete their comments. Yurok, let them go. Because now this is how they lily pad now. It's not in context. Okay? We have to go into the deep-rooted understanding of Hebrew to try to figure this out. Why? Let's not deal with these scriptures as it is written here, not to hate an Edomite, because it goes against my training, my programming. There must be a deeper understanding to dismantle this scripture in Deuteronomy 23 and 7. Because if God is telling me not to hate Edomites, and it's as it is written, what is it to say for me going forward, hating them? And teaching that within doctrines and teaching others to do so. So now, maybe now we need to discard this scripture and get a greater understanding so that I can continue to hate people. Don't delete the comment because we want it there, Yerah. I want those dissenting comments here. Don't delete anyone, Yerah. Read it again, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land.
Now here's other scriptures we went into when I was 25, right, all the way up until my mid-30s. Okay. Over 10 years of, believe it or not, folks, expertly breaking down these topics, believing it wholeheartedly. I wasn't breaking it down and teaching it because I thought I was wrong. It's what I was taught at a young age. Isaiah 14 and 1. More, because don't forget, I'm teaching an Edomite now at the age of 25 on up that God hates him, and that justify why I'm hating him, right? Because God does it. When the same Bible says you're not supposed to hate an Edomite, even if God does. Right? You're not God. You're not the Most High. So you're supposed to deal with Edomites or any other nation according to Christ's gospel. Right? You're not God, so don't use him to justify your personal hatred of anyone. Isaiah 14 and 1. Let's go, Elder Lawyer.
Isaiah 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land,
so
and the strangers shall be...
It says what? Read the whole thing because there's a delay. That's why it seems like I'm coming in. But read the whole thing, then I'll break it down, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the stranger shall be joint with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob.
Read.
Verse 2. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids.
For what?
And they shall take them captive for servants and handmaids.
For servants and handmaids. Now, that's the future of all the strangers that will make it into Christ's kingdom. So this is what we used to teach concerning the Gentiles' future, right? And this is true. That when Christ returns, all the Gentiles who have made it will go into Christ's kingdom to serve during the 1,000-year reign. That's true. Right? So now, but understand if you're teaching all this in context without any balance. The Most High hates you, and the only thing that you can look forward to is captivity. Without showing them anything else. And I'm not talking about the, what you would call the high-end intellectuals and social controllers politically and religiously over the earth who are social engineering thing, engineering what we see today. We're talking to layman people on the street who've been lied to just like us. on the street telling them this without any context. And this is how, I'm going to tell you how low level that doctrine is in of itself. That you have relegated Christ's power and his gospel to God hate you and you're going into captivity. And this is going to make me happy on the other side of my kingdom. When folks, brothers, when we were teaching that, we were also teaching a doctrine that if we continue to teach it, none of us would have gotten into that same kingdom we're claiming that white people can't get into. Because I was also teaching that, it's weird, right? That Christ is going to kill all the white people and they'll be reincarnated into the kingdom, and that's when they'll serve for the 1,000 years after being killed already, when Christ returns. But I digress. There is no reincarnation. And see, when you deal with one false doctrinal understanding, there's a domino effect. The whole thing becomes false. Right? So now you're teaching a new doctrine of how Gentiles are going to get into the kingdom outside of how Christ said they would. Christ didn't say, I'm going to kill everybody and they're going to be reincarnated and their children are going to serve in the kingdom when it comes to white people. And that's what happens when you err, not realizing the truth concerning hell and the judgment of hell. But I digress. Okay. Now I'm putting this out there in full context so that there's no questions going forward on this topic. Because I'm not talking about what other Israelite groups are teaching. I'm talking what I actually taught. Okay. Now, a lot of these splinters and all that came out of Israeli Church of UPK, Israeli School of UPK, of course, they're keeping the same doctrine. And now the new people that are here, back in the day, we used to call them new jacks. They learn online and they feel like I felt at 21, 23, 25, up in 25, that this is some new doctrine now that they can now expound to come back to me and say, Elder Ricard Chiara, I don't mean to be contentious, but. Then I used to go to, I also went to Revelations 13, 9, and 10 when white people came up. Elder Lawyer?
Yes, sir.
Let's read that.
Revelation 13, verse number 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Here's the what?
Here's the patience and the faith of the saints.
Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That means the saint has patience. Have patience. Here lies what? The patience and what?
And the faith of the saints.
And the faith of the saints. We know that what goes around comes around, that vengeance is the Most High. So eventually, when Christ get in position, he's going to put the nations in servitude. His position. So captivity is true. It will happen. If you kill with the sword, you must be killed with the sword. That will happen. But who determines all this? Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
An Israelite doesn't determine this. Okay? A Christian doesn't determine this. Christ does. And that's the patience of the saints. We're knowing that only he can bring the true judgment, the righteous judgment on the world, on the earth. It's not up to me to now boast and go before him. Yeah, this is what's going to happen to you when you don't know if you're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So be not curious how the wicked shall be punished, but how what? The righteous shall be saved. You're so focused on what's going to happen to the white man, you're not getting in. When you should be focused on what? Us cleaning up ourselves, getting ourselves right with the Almighty. Because guess what? There will never be no satisfaction for what happens to the white man and the judgment that happens. When 90% of us will be destroyed for disobedience, and two-thirds of that's left, the 10% shall be cut off and die. And that's not to ignore the wickedness of the white man and the things they continue to do unrepentant. But I'm not focusing on that. We're teaching and it's revealing all the evil they're doing in the earth. I'm focused on the righteous out of those people who would come and say, it cannot be disputed. These are our people. These are the sins of my forefather. Father, what's for me? What can I do? I can't change that. And there's a directive according to the Bible we must do faced with that scenario. And then to justify the hatred and the false understanding, because first of all, the Bible says you're not supposed to abhor an Edomite. Period. So to justify your hatred, you'll try to bring Christ into it. Elder Lawyer, let's go. I need you to, Elder Lawyer, hold Isaiah 49 and 22. Hold that. Hold that. All right. And I need you to go to, hold on. I need you to go to Matthew, Mark 7 and 27. Because the Bible says this was a Greek, a Syro-Phoenician by nation. On the street, I would tell people this. This is what I taught at a young age. All right? Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark 7. And guess what? And I'm glad I'm doing this because no one can say that I'm in defense of quote-unquote white people. I break down all day the synagogue of Satan, the wickedness they're doing in the earth. All day, almost every lesson, we're revealing the institutions Esau set up to destroy our people so that they can escape from the hands of the power structure who are Edomites at the helm. I'm in defense of Christ's gospel. That's what I'm in defense of. And we do the Bible a disservice when we're not rightly dividing the word of truth and set up doctrine strictly on our personal hatred for people. Get over it. Pray and get spiritual therapy. That's in your heart. And don't try to bring God and Christ within this. That's within your heart to hate other people and try to justify it with the Bible. I can still teach what Esau is doing wrong and reveal the evil he has done and continue to do. But still, I can teach the gospel of Christ concerning the truth of Esau and his future according to the Bible. That everything with Esau, when it comes to his future, is negative. And I'm not talking about Esau as a whole. I'm talking about the individuals who choose to do right. Other scriptures we used to use real quick, Elder Lawyer. Young man, 25 years of age, early 90s. mid-90s at this point. Mark 7 and 27, read that.
Mark 7, verse number...
But before you go that, let's go up to where it says she was a Syrophoenician by nation.
Yes, sir.
Where the woman came before Christ.
25.
Yeah, let's go there. Come on.
Mark 7 and 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet.
Yes.
The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation.
Go on.
And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter.
So now we used to teach this is a white woman with an exorcist scenario. All right. Her daughter has a demon. Right? Come on.
Verse 27. But Yeshaya said unto her, let the children be first filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs.
Now, the scriptures say, Christ said, let the children first be filled. See, that's a priority there. Paul took that priority to the Jews first and also the Gentiles. Christ sent the disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but once he was resurrected, and Matthew, when you go in the end of Matthew, he says, teach all nations. He says, first I need to fill my people, because it's not meet to take what I have and give it to the dog. We used to teach, well, you know what? This is Christ calling you and all your people and all people non-Israelites dogs. Now, that can be damning if you're not teaching this in its proper context. Because we've already said, it already been taught that white people are hated by God. That we're justified with hating white people. They're going into captivity. And on top of that, God thinks they're dogs. Now I'm using Christ to justify this doctrine. But let's see how Christ dealt in this. Read.
Verse number 28.
Let me make it clear. This is not saying that you have to have any race of people as friends. This is not saying that you should trust another race or trust white people. I'm not teaching none of this with any of that. Whatever your interactions are that makes you feel comfortable are your interactions. Let me make it clear. I'm just making sure that the scriptures aren't used for people's personal feelings.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is not saying, okay, go to a basketball court and go to the suburbs and find some white people to do some pickup basketball with.
Right.
Okay. I'm just making sure we clear up that you can't use the Bible for whatever you're dealing with. There's some people, every race is more comfortable amongst their own race.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people, you don't have to say, well, I'm not going to try to be around white people because you're not around them anyway. White people are not around you. People are more comfortable amongst their own people. That's just the way it is. Okay? So let's see how Christ cleared this up, Elder Lawyer.
Right, and if I could just elaborate on that point. Very quickly.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the issue when we bring stuff like this out. People start going into their personal relationships and how they deal on a daily basis with other nations of people. And that's not what we're not trying to change the dynamic of who you deal with and how you deal with them. What we're saying is that when it comes to teaching this gospel, we must teach the gospel and allow it to fall on whom it may, irregardless of our personal relationships and how we feel about people personally.
Exactly. Period. And usually, who we trust individually, is encompassed within our past experiences. That's the way it is. Our past experiences determine, based on whether or not we've been slighted, and even if it's some of our own people, there's certain character traits that we'll look at and we're burned from it, you know, in the past, and say, you know what? I don't want to deal with this scenario because I dealt with this before. And it can be our own people. That's an individual choice. But the problem comes with how you feel individually. Now you're going to try to get the Bible to justify these feelings. That's the issue. Okay, that's the problem. All right, Elder Lloyd. Let's see how Christ dealt with this woman. Because usually when we went here and said that it's not right to take the children bread and to cast it to dogs, we would emphasize this scripture as if this is the context that in which Christ is dealing with this woman. The context is the opportunity to be able to call her and her people dogs was the context we taught it in. Right? And then we would just jump someplace else. Christ call you a dog. And then we would turn around. Well, if Christ can call you a dog, then we can call you dogs.
Right.
See? You're going to learn something here. See, I'm speaking from experience right now, folks. About juvenile. How juvenile and immature such ideologies are when you look back at it and realize how ridiculous it is. But all Christ is bringing forth in this instance to heal someone, the only thing we're going to highlight is the fact that he said it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And you know what? He was speaking indirectly in an analogy. He didn't say, well, it's not meet to take the children's bread. He didn't call her a dog directly. The analogy is the table is for Israelites. This is the Israelites' table. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is the Israelites' table. That's the context. But listen to her answer to Christ. Come on.
Verse 28. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.
But yet the dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. She's saying, is there anything on the table for my daughter to be saved? For her not to be saved, but to be healed. Even though at this time, because why? The gospel wasn't taught to the Gentiles until after Christ was crucified and resurrected. See? Christ was solely focusing on Israelites during his ministry. To the lost sheep during his ministry. So now she says, with that healing power, at least the master can put something on the floor where the dogs can get it. Even dogs get the food that's on the table. Is there anything for my daughter? Listen to what Christ said here.
Verse number 29. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter.
He healed the woman's daughter. But the only thing we could focus on was the fact that Christ said dog in the 90s when I was teaching. It's to make this person that's in front of us who are on the surface not our people feel the lowest they can feel with no hope of the Bible at all. And if that's not enough, if they say, well, yeah, I understand, what can I do? What can I do? I can't change what my forefathers did. This was our answer to them. Elder Lawyer, let's go to Isaiah 49 and 22.
Isaiah 49, verse number 22.
Come on.
Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my people or set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms and their daughters shall be carried upon, or thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders.
Now, Elder Lawyer, in context, that's our operative word right now, this is talking about when Christ returns, correct?
Mm-hmm.
This in context, prophetically, is speaking of when Christ returns. But here it is, we have a Gentile standing before us, a quote-unquote white man, who's asking, what can he do now that it's clear that he's guilty for what his forefathers did? And now, at the age of 25, I would read these scriptures here. This is what you can do. Out of context, because what we're reading here doesn't happen until Christ returns. But I'm using this in the 90s.
Right.
As a show of good faith of what an Edomite can do in good faith to show he's sorry. This is my answer to the white man's contrition at the age of 25. Right? Read it, Elder Lawyer.
And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens shall, and their queens thy nursing mothers.
Come on.
They shall bow down to thee with their faces toward the earth.
And I would say, hold up, Elder Lawyer, I would say now, you must bow down before me with your face to the earth. And do what?
And lick up the dust of thy feet.
And lick up the dust. You must kiss the feet. That's all you can do to show you're sorry for what your forefathers did. These are the scriptures, brothers and sisters, that we took out of context. When only Christ, the patience of the saints, stated that this will happen once Christ set up a standard, once he returned. See that? You see how damning that is? How wicked and evil that is? That means you are doing something now in the earth above, before our Lord establishes it. This is what Christ is going to command, what Christ is going to establish when it comes to Gentiles. We're not supposed to go before our Savior, our King, and that proves that these people really don't believe in him. They're going to use a scripture out of context through pride to humiliate people. Is that Christ? Now, I can tell you now, if any nation come up to us, exactly what we are to tell them. Instead of telling them anything, all the negatives, and that God hates them, if they come to me, this is what I'll say. Elder Lawyer, let's get Matthew 28 according to Christ when he talks about go out and teach all nations.
St. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18.
Read.
And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
All power is given. Hold up, Lawyer, because even though I know we have feedback here, just slow down a little because I want to interject there. All power was given to Christ. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the authority to teach outside of the parameters that were given to the disciples. We don't have that power to tell somebody to sit, to look at the floor and kiss our boots before Christ established things. That's anti-Christ. And this is not in defense of anything. We're teaching truth here. Equity, judgment, righteousness. Read, Elder Lawyer.
Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Teach who?
teach all nations.
All nations of people. All nations. That's all races of people. Now, what they'll do is say, no, it's talking about the Israelites scattered throughout all nations. All nations. And you can't say it's talking about Israelites scattered throughout all nations and all that because Christ was teaching the Israelites before he was crucified and resurrected. And in John, it says, whither will he go? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Yes. Even though the Church of Latter-day Saints is getting things incorrect with their false book, Christ did visit the tribes that were over here in the Americas during that 3 days. And let them know that one day he will gather them with Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. I'm going to be dealing with that history in the academy. Joseph Smith, the demon over the Church of Latter-day Saints, who found the golden tablets, end up injecting him and other races of people within those tablets, tainting the new book they would call the Book of Mormons. Okay? So Christ, that table that Christ told the Grecian woman or the Phoenician woman, the Syrophoenician, he says, well, listen, it's not meat to take the children bread and to cast it to dogs. The table is for the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's one part of the gospel. But the other part of the good news is telling Gentiles that if they repent, that they can be saved in order to fulfill their part of prophecy in Christ's kingdom. Evil and wicked and deceitful nations aren't getting into Christ's kingdom to serve. So how do you introduce that entryway to them? If they're wicked, they're not going to get it. They must be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that will give them access to play their part in Christ's kingdom. That's where teachers come in at, regardless of race. I'm not going to tell my people, well, you can't get in strictly because of the evils of our forefathers and the things we did. And because of that, bow down on your knees and all that before. I'm not going to tell my people that because there's what? There's rules of engagement according to Christ's doctrine. Our people need to know that there's a chance, even though our forefathers sinned. Well, that's for all nations. That's how they get into the kingdom to serve you, who claiming that you are a child of that kingdom. Go therefore and teach all nations. Go ahead, other lawyer.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
That's how
teaching
the
them. That's
how the Gentiles get in. Go ahead, other lawyer.
Teaching them to observe all things whithersoever I have commanded you.
Teaching them to do what?
To observe all things whithersoever I have commanded you.
So any people or Israelites that are teaching they're not supposed to teach the other nations and are denying them in to be taught are antichrist. They are against Christ. You just need a reason to blame them. When the Most High gave you the authority, the history, and the intellectual acumen to teach them, but yet you're denying it. You are antichrist. How can you determine who goes into Christ's kingdom based on the outward appearance? That's wicked. That's an evil doctrine. Let's go to Matthew 23 and let's see what Christ says about that. That they would shut up the kingdom of heaven for those who would go in when they're not even getting in themselves. That's why they're trying to get all the satisfaction now, having someone bow to them, having someone respect them now, they're trying to get all the accolades now while demoralizing others because subconsciously they're not, in their minds, they know they're not getting in. So they're trying to get it all now. Let me get the white man to bow down now. Let me do this now. Let me hate people. Let me do whatever I need to do. Where's the patience of the saints? who's going to focus on how the righteous can be saved more so than how the wicked will be punished. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Let's get it in Matthew 23.
St. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 13.
Read it.
But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in.
Look at that. Their doctrine is shutting up people from the kingdom of heaven. Speaking of Pharisees and scribes, when Christ told them, you're not getting in as Israelites. Because of the doctrine you're teaching that's pharisaical, that is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven, but you will shut up the kingdom of heaven for those who are searching for me, who would follow me. Now you are guarding the way, claiming that now you need their what? Genetic card, their genealogy card to see if they fit for Christ's kingdom. You're standing in the way. If a white man go unrepentant and continue to do the sins of his forefathers, guess what? Vengeance is the Lord's. None gets away. Not one.
Right.
And guess what? Matter of fact, let's read it, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Proverbs 11 and 21.
Right, that too as well after that. Too quickly.
Okay, sure. They'll shut up the kingdom of heaven. Here it is. They're going to come with a full doctrine of saying that we can only teach people who fit this genetic makeup outside of Christ's command to the disciples. That's Pharisee. They shut up the kingdom of heaven for those who would naturally get in respect of how well they teach. These people, if they taught correct, the people would follow it. Blocking access to Christ's kingdom when they're not getting in themselves. How do you know they're not getting in? These are the same people that will teach you that it's reincarnation, there is no hell, and that, yeah, that water baptism isn't a prerequisite into Christ's kingdom, even though Christ said, unless you be born with water and spirit, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So if they deny these outright commands by Christ, the question comes in to why people would actually listen to them. When they can tell you right out that they deny Christ's baptism. Why? Because people cleave to like minds. They cleave, and it tells you at the very end, people will cleave to their own kind. That's why. Because what's in the heart of these people is what's resonating with them. That's what's happening. And the Most High is moving everyone into their own sections before judgment. Because Christ made it clear. You read Christ's gospel, he made it clear. He started with John, the Baptist, and then he came and was baptized to solidify publicly outside to everywhere, everyone listening and looking, Pharisees looking on the outside of it, the only entry into Christ's kingdom. So the same people that are expounding this false doctrine when it comes to Edomites are not even getting into the kingdom of heaven themselves, because they're teaching those who would listen to them and follow them that following Christ's baptism isn't a prerequisite. So if they didn't hear Christ, they're definitely not going to hear us. Who little old Ricardo y'all are the Gavin Christ Church? Elder Lawyer, go ahead.
You said Proverbs.
Proverbs 11 and 21.
Proverbs 11 and 21.
Come on.
Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous.
Read that again.
Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished.
Go on.
But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered.
But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The wicked shall not go unpunished, folks. So if there's a white person or any person who decides to continue doing evil against the Bible, to treat our people unjustly and racially target us and all that, they're not getting away.
Right.
So I'm not even focusing on them because I know vengeance is coming for them. And that's the Most High God. I'm going to focus on how the righteous can be saved. That's what I'm going to focus on. I will continue to expose the wickedness and the evil that's in the earth according to prophecy and what people are behind it. But I'm not going to paint all races of people with a broad brush. There's individuals that's going to come out and realize, you know what, this whole system is wrong. What are my alternatives for Christ's kingdom to come? And that's where good teachers come in at. Go ahead, Elder Lawyer. And then we're going to, and after this, after we deal with this, Elder Lawyer, we're going to the book of Obadiah.
Yes, sir.
Because that's going to seal this whole thing shut. Now, if y'all want to go into who's Edom and the breakdown of that, folks, get in that academy. We can get the literature, the sources, the resources, the historical sources, and everything. I cannot stress it enough how important that is from what? From a student's standpoint or even a teacher's vantage point to have these tools to understand the doctrine and the true narrative of the Bible. We put a lot of work in this academy, folks. And this is why a lot of people are confused and combative and try to say it, because why? Because they're on the outside following these false doctrines, and they know what we're saying cannot be, really, it cannot be challenged when you just look at the scriptures. But instead of them humbling themselves and say, you know what? All right, let me give it a shot. Let me at least go get in here and see how this school is constructed for 3 months. Let me see what they're teaching. And then, in good faith with the information, I can prove it wrong. Right? So that's why it's important with the Hebrew and Bible Academy. I can't stress that enough, folks. I mean, we start this Sunday, and it gives full context when it comes to the narrative of the Bible. When we break down the truth of Islam, what's behind it, what spirits are behind it, the truth of Christianity, the false doctrine of Christianity. The Bible is true. Christianity, European Christianity, is a lie. It's Mithraism. That's all it is. It's paganism. It's Babylonian, the doctrine. But the Bible doesn't back up anything they're dealing with in there. Get in the academy, okay? I'm going to tell you, that's all I have to say. But if not, it's okay. You can use this and use other information in bits and pieces as we put it out there, and you'll see that what we're teaching is correct according to Christ's gospel. But go on, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir. Just two quick ones. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
To who?
I'll read it again.
To the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So when people read that, where the Christians are going off, Elder Lawyer, if they'll think that means that Israelites and Gentiles are on the same par concerning the kingdom to come with Christ. That's incorrect.
Right. We don't believe that nor teach that.
We don't believe that or teach that. It's still to the Israelites first, and then what comes to everyone else. And that's not according to me. That's according to Christ's teachings and the prophecies concerning all nations when he returns.
Mm-hmm.
He determined the priority or the pecking order and who will do what in his kingdom. Not us.
Right.
But go ahead, Elder Lawyer.
Yep. The next one, Romans 2, verse number 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But also glory and honor and peace, and that goes back to what you were showing earlier, that nobody gets away. And that's why that doesn't become our primary focus. Now, I was going to say that if you come into the academy, you'll see that we deal with and we expose the wickedness that's taking place in high places with the so-called white man, or any other nation that's doing wickedness in high places. We expose that in the news segment and some of the lessons we have. So that's not, it's not like we avoid those particular topics. But we understand ultimately it's not going to be us through hatred that's going to bring them to judgment. They're going to bring themselves to judgment if they continue to operate in wickedness and evil, to deal covertly against us, so on and so forth. They're going to be judged for that. No one gets away, right?
Exactly.
So reading on, verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with the Most High.
Exactly. So when it says there's no respect of persons, in judgment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If there's unrighteousness amongst Israelites, we'll be judged for it. If there's unrighteousness in Edomites and other races of people, if people tend to follow their idolatry under Buddhists being Chinese, they're not going to get in. There's a judgment for that. When the Bible, the most published and sought after book in history, was actually transferred and distributed throughout the whole world. No individual, regardless of race or ethnicity, is without excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether it be Chinese, Arab, Israelite, which are the black people, the North American Indians, the children of Joseph, or the tribe that was under Joseph in North, Central, and South America, and different parts of the Philippines, Cambodia, New Zealand, Haiti, if they decide to do right and follow this gospel, then what? They'll get the reward that comes with being an Israelite, making it through the trouble. The Gentiles who follow will get the reward for making it through. But the positions in the kingdom are allocated by Christ. There will be no equity where Israelites are on the same level as Gentiles. Gentiles will be there to serve. That's where it says, he that goeth into captivity, that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And it's not talking about the unrighteous servitude we serve here in America, as an example. Because there's laws of servitude in the Old Testament. All Gentiles will be treated with equity and righteousness, and they'll have a better time in Christ's kingdom than they would have here. So when you hear us talking about the truth concerning, and I'm talking, it's the people who are disingenuous who would say, well, they say the white man is going to be equal with the Israelites. They'd be straight put lying to people. Because why? There's really no arguing what we're breaking down because it's straight scripture. So they'll lie and say, well, based on everything I heard, this is what I'm getting from that. That white people will be equal with Israelites. I just don't agree with what Elder Ricard Shaw is saying there. Just don't. That's the disingenuous lies because they cannot refute what we're teaching. And not what we're teaching. We're just teaching what Christ gave the disciples. Elder Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
Now, all people have received an opportunity, Israelites as well as Gentiles. Ezekiel 33 and 15 says, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that what he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, he shall live. That's Ezekiel. In the prophecies, even the Most High God told the Gentiles and the wicked that's ruling, if they were to do right, they would live. And now I'm going to come on the other end and say, well, even though God said that, even I'm going to teach a doctrine where I can only call them dogs and tell them to bow down and they're not going to make it and God hates them and therefore justify my hatred. But now, let's close it up, Elder Lawyer, with the book of Obadiah.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what's used so that they can make a claim that what? All Edomites will be killed. Right? Now, folks, I'm not saying what they said. I'm talking about, I was teaching this from the age of 25 to about my mid-30s, to about 35, 36, 30. I taught this up into about, what, 36, 37? At least that, at least about to 35. For 10 years, I taught that almost. Folks, so I'm not talking about what they're teaching. I'm just showing you how destructive that doctrine, and how, I mean, it's I'm going to tell you, it's really low level in comparison to Christ's purpose in us as teachers. Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the book of Obadiah, and let's go straight to it.
Okay, straight to the point.
Let's go straight to it. Let's go straight to it. As a matter of fact, let's start at the first verse, and we'll go straight to it, where it says that all the Mount of Esau shall be cut off, all the house of Esau shall be cut off by slaughter. Let's go there.
Okay. Verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God, concerning Edom.
Now, here's the prophecy concerning Edom.
We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle.
Now, according to the prophecies, this is a future ambassador. Now, we used to teach in the 90s that it was talking about Gamnanasseh of Egypt. That's wrong. This is talking about the Iranians rising up at the very end for the final war before Christ returns. That's what this is talking about. It's not talking about some Gamnanasseh of Egypt rose up against Israel and said, how can the Jews leave Israel black and come back white, even though he didn't make that statement. But this scripture is not talking about Gamnanasseh. It's talking about Isaiah 13. Where there will be a president that will rise up out of Iran in defense of what's going on when they refuse the New World Order in totality and begin the final war that leads to Christ's return. That's what this is talking about. Come on.
Jumping straight to the point.
So this prophecy is concerning Edom, and this is what they use, or I used to use growing up in it, to justify saying that, well, all Edomites are going to be destroyed. Let's read it, Elder Lloyd. Let's go down to the 17th verse.
Verse number 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the people, where it says here, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it.
There shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. Now, where people are getting this confused, folks, this is not talking about people here. This is talking about the property Esau possessed while ruling. This is talking about the countries and the continents and the areas colonized. How do you know this? Finish reading, Elder Lawyer.
Verse number 19. And they of the south shall possess the Mount of Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim. And the field.
Hold up. This is now under Christ, us taking back the territory they stole, including modern day Israel. And you notice it says we will possess Esau. So if all of them are killed here, how are they being possessed? The possession is talking property. I'm going to prove that.
Mm-hmm. If I can jump back to verse 16 real quick.
Yes.
For as they have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and then they shall be as though they had not been. So again,
exactly.
Pointed to the fact. Yep, you can go ahead. You can.
No, go ahead. Break it down.
Now, I was going to say that starting at the top of verse 16, where it says, as they have drunk upon my holy mountain. As we've mentioned earlier, they have invaded or they've taken over our land. And when Christ returns, that land will be taken back. We shall possess our possessions,
exactly.
Our land.
Exactly. Exactly. So they would look at the house of Esau and not realize it's talking about the property the house of Esau possessed. Okay? And I'm going to prove that. Finish reading, Elder Lloyd. You want to read all the way down.
Yes, sir. Verse number 19. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines.
So when it says possess the mount of Esau, that means we're possessing the territories they once occupied or took. Right? Read on.
If I can mention just one thing real quick. Even during the Babylonian captivity, they began to encroach upon our territory, upon the lands of Judah. Okay, so just from a historical standpoint, Esau have always made infractions upon the land. So again, it's just saying that when Christ returns, we're going to get all of that territory back.
Get the territory
reading
back.
On.
Yeah, come on.
Reading on, verse number 20. In the captivity, or verse 19, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Zarephath, shall possess the cities of the south.
So, when it says there shall be none remaining of the house of Esau, it's talking about the territory he's colonized or take or took through this war.
Right.
When it says none remaining, it's not saying Edomites won't be here. It's saying that the land they possess will be given to its rightful owners. And it's even telling you how they're going to break down the land and how Israelites are going to get the land back. What part Benjamin is going to have, what part Judah is going to have. It even going into detail after that to show you that it's speaking of territory. When it says there shall be none remaining, what is the none? It's not talking people. It's talking what? Property, possession, land. So you took that out of context and ran with it. Now, Elder Lawyer, let me show the Septuagint real quick. Mm-hmm. Let me show the brothers and sisters in the Septuagint. Now, a lot of these breakdowns you can get in the academy to show you some of the level we're teaching on here. I have the original Septuagint before you, brothers and sisters. I took a picture of it. Here's the original Septuagint from 1851. So I took a picture from my phone where it's highlighted for the book of Obadiah. Obadiah from the Septuagint. The Septuagint was translated out of the Greek, one of the oldest translations of the Old Testament, so that the Grecians can understand, or the authority could understand our records, a people since we were going under their authority. And look what it says here, brothers and sisters. It's highlighted in my book. But on Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And there shall be a sanctuary, and the house of Jacob shall take for an inheritance those that took them for an inheritance. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, listen, a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau shall be for stubble, and Israel shall flame forth against them. Listen. Listen to this. Listen to this clearly. And shall devour them, and there shall not be a cornfield left to the house of Esau. There shall not be a cornfield left of the house of Esau, because the Lord has spoken it. So when it says there shall be none remaining of the house of Esau, in the Septuagint, it's making it clear that it's speaking of property. All the lands that they've taken that belongs to the Israelites will be given back to Israel. Not even one cornfield in the earth they'll possess going forward. So when it says there shall be none remaining, it's talking about cornfields. It's talking about property that was taken, the areas they colonized. It's not even talking or speaking about people. So in this context, now, we can teach in this context now, let's get Amos 9 and 11 and Acts 15 and 14 now. So now when you hear, when brothers and sisters, when you see the captivity scriptures, when you go to Isaiah 14 and you see the strangers cleaving, and it says, we shall take them captives whose captives they are. Now we have to teach the Gentiles, including white people, how they'll get to that point in Christ's kingdom to serve. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Genesis 25 on down, it was told to Rebekah, the 25th chapter, that the elder shall serve the younger. The elder is Esau, the European, the so-called white man. So how will Esau get in Christ's kingdom to serve the righteous that makes it there? Right? Come on, other way. I can't hear you. Your thing went out.
Yes, sir.
Let's read it real quick.
Amos 9, verse 11.
Read.
In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old.
Come on.
And they shall possess the remnant of Edom.
The remnant of Edom. Now let's focus, Elder Lawyer, on that remnant of Edom. A remnant is not all of Esau. These are the remnant who received the true gospel of Christ. Now, how would they receive that without teachers? Now, this is how the prophecies of the Old Testament will be fulfilled concerning white people or Europeans, where it stated the elder shall serve the younger. Right? Read on, Elder Lawyer. Because why? I get it, and I know other Israelites, when they see this scripture in Acts 15, they're going to claim that it's not talking about other races of people. They're going to claim that it's talking about Israelites that are scattered. But no, you have the precept for that now. Because we're going to go directly to the scripture that's being quoted from the books of Acts 15. So there's no gray area so that people can claim that Acts 15 and what the disciples are saying here are Israelites. Finish reading, Elder Lawyer.
That they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this.
Saith the Lord who doeth this. You're like, the heathen can't be called by God's name. These are Israelites that are scattered. That's what they will say. But we're going to prove that wrong right now. After he read this, we're going to the quote, the actual precept that's being quoted from Acts 15. Read.
Acts 15. And verse number 13.
Go all the way through.
Yes, sir. And after they had held their peace.
Now, hold and that. Go to Amos 9 now. Amos 9.
Okay.
Go to Amos 9 and 11, and we can conclude there, and I can just take one phone call, and then I have to eat.
Amos 9, verse 11, Amos 9, verse 12.
Come
that
on.
They may possess the remnant of Edom, of all the heathen which are called by my name.
No, start at 11. Start at 11. 9 and 11 and 12.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and close up the breaches thereof.
Now, hold
and I will
up,
raise up his...
It says close the breaches thereof. So the house of David comprised of all 12 tribes of Israel. So there's no breaches now. So when Christ comes, he's going to take that northern and southern kingdom and bring it together where there is no breaches now. So that's the 12 tribes it's speaking of there. Read, Elder Lawyer.
And I will build it up as in the days of old.
Come on.
Verse 12, when there was no scattered Israelites. Right?
So that kills the scattered Israelites right there, because now we're together under Christ.
Right. verse 12.
Read.
That they may possess the remnant of Edom.
That we may possess what?
The remnant of Edom.
The remnant of Edom, which links directly to Acts 15:14 on down, when it says they shall possess the remnant of the Gentiles. Read.
That they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord.
And all the Gentiles that are called by my name. So the 12 tribes are under David together with Christ now, as far as how it was under David. So you can't claim the next verse is speaking about the Israelites scattered. There's a remnant of Edom who's going to find Christ and be baptized and get into the kingdom to fulfill his father's prophecy, the elder shall serve the younger. And the only way he can do that is be called under Christ's name by being baptized and accepting the truth of this Bible. And that includes Gentiles too, outside of so-called white people. Now, this is crystal clear, okay? And at the end of the day, Paul stated, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You can try to make it about me or the gathering of Christ church or something else and ignore the word of God, but that's between you and him. So I wanted to break this down, Elder Lawyer, so clear that no one can ever put words in my mouth or do this or do that and try to claim, well, what about Obadiah? What about Malachi? What about, as if the Bible contradicts itself. No, the Bible isn't confusing at all. It's clear when you follow it in its true narrative without doing what? Choosing the Bible, choosing to choose precepts that would justify your hatred toward people. That's not my problem. That's between you and the Almighty. I'm here to teach the gospel. And any Gentile that ain't doing right, the Most High is going to get rid of them anyway. Only a remnant of Esau going to get in to serve anyway. And guess what? Only a remnant of Israel will get in to see the Gentiles serve. The questions now lies, are we or are you one of them? Well, as a lawyer, let me take one phone call and then I have to eat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to see you all tomorrow at the Sabbath. We're going to have a short lesson in preparation for the academy. 770 area code. Shalom.
Shalom. It's Gigi from the Atlanta body.
Yes. How are you, Gigi?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed by the Almighty.
I just wanted to personally say that this was a very timely lesson. I've been studying those scriptures in the academy as well, as you break down the serpent seed. And
yeah.
For a while, I was so afraid that because I'm, well, I think I'm an Edomite. I don't know for sure, but like if I was, then
okay.
am I tied to the fallen angels and all this so scared that I wasn't going to make it? But as I started reading, like you said, Obadiah and Amos, I started to realize that as long as I understand like where I fall in the kingdom, that there is a chance for me. And that has just, I praise the Almighty for that is true.
Well, I'm glad you got edified today. And at the end of the day, this is why it tells us in the epistles not to strive in genealogy. There's no way you'll know for sure where you fall in pecking order based on your forefathers, right? So you don't know whether or not they are part of the serpent seed or whatever the case is. So that's something that's beyond your control. What you can control is repenting, coming back to Christ, and following the law, statutes, and commandments, and being a great person as an example for Christ in this earth. That's what you can control. And it tells us in Matthew, the 25th chapter, it tells us that Christ is going to divide the nations from the nations, and he'll put them in their place. So, sister, never think on things you can't control, and there's no need to be guilty over things you can't control. I'm not guilty when it comes to the sins of my forefathers and what they did. Okay, I'm in position to do something about it. And this is why people have to get out of that victim mindset, because that's part of how Satan want to play us in a position of just victimhood and being victims. Well, no, they use that as a political tool to incinerate us for their political agendas. Okay, I'm not a victim.
Okay.
I don't feel guilty. Listen, I'm here to do Christ's will for the kingdom of heaven, and I'm not going to come off and teach Christ's word as a victim. That's a political tool. We're not victims. We sin, and Christ has given us access, has given us an opportunity to repent, to stand on our two feet, okay, as proud believers in him in preparation for his kingdom, all right?
Okay.
All right, let me place you on hold. 770 area code. I can only take a few and then I'm out. I have to go.
Hello, Elder Ricard. Hello,
Shalom.
Elder Lawyer.
Shalom.
I want to ask a question about 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I'm not currently on the driving right now, I'm a truck driver. I can't find that right now. That's another time.
What does it say? What does it say, and we'll pull it up?
It's talking about affliction and come on, let me see. I had it, but I can't find it right now.
Hold on. Where it says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you, or is it talking about where it says how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance? No, when you get it, call back. When you get it, call back. All right?
Okay.
Because I have to go, and I can't take. I only got one more call to take, one or two, and I'm gone. 816 area code. Yes.
Hello. Shalom, Elder. Can you hear me?
Shalom. Yes.
Shalom. Yes, sir. I had a question.
Shalom.
In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, when it...
2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Let me get it. So I'm with you, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, go on.
Yes, sir. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of the Most High, who hath reconciled us to himself by Yeshua Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I agree, and I understand that. I was wondering what applies when they're dealing with after the 1,000 years is over. With Gog and Magog, would those who were deceived, would those be the descendants of Gentiles who didn't walk in or accept Christ before he went in, that those would
well,
be those who
realize,
were living during
brother,
that 1,000 years?
What I know that all Israel will make it beyond 1,000 years because that's clear. There is no gray area there. Now, but it doesn't say in particular how many or if all the Gentiles follow Satan once he released after the 1,000 years. What we do know is whoever followed him out of the Gentiles will be thrown in the lake of fire with him.
Okay.
So it's really
so that 1,000 years
really,
probably wouldn't apply.
What I'm saying is the 1,000 years, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the mind of man what's prepared for us after the last judgment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But every Gentile that turned to Satan when he's loosed after the 1,000 years will be utterly destroyed with him in the lake of fire. But I'll tell
okay.
you what, we need to work what we can to get into that 1,000 years, be it Israelites or Gentiles, because that's a long time.
Right.
So again, seek not how the wicked shall be punished, but how the righteous shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
All
I'm
right.
Nice. Yes,
there
sir.
There you go.
It. Shalom, Mel.
Shalom. Last call, and then we have to go. 651 area code, and I hope to see you all in our Hebrew and Bible Academy this coming Sunday. Elder Lawyer, real quick before we go, I need you to give some insight to what they can expect with the Hebrew this time. What have you done to make it quite engaging right after this, okay? 651 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
Can you hear me? This is Brother Marco, Minnesota Body. How are you today?
I'm blessed by the blessed. Best.
Yeah, so, man, I didn't even think you were going to answer my call. It's been profound, you know, the lesson last week we had here and everything. Me, myself, being a large, but light as noon, you know, I know my skin's red, but, hey, this is the truth. I saw an older lesson where you said we go to our closet and we get to pick our shirt the Most High chose. And in these other camps, if you will, they are denying. And it's sad to see. Hopefully they come around. But, you know, hey, as a football team picks their quarterback, we got our quarterback, and we're all a team working for Christ's body, and it's just, you know, it's powerful. Because I used to get hung up on that quite a few years ago. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know if you can expound upon that, and, you know, but it's, hey, we got the kingdom to look forward to, and it's beautiful.
Exactly. And see, that's what edification is about. Okay, why
yeah,
just speak of the negative and just make all negative concerning one race without pointing out the gospel in which it would give all people an opportunity to partake in Christ's kingdom at some facets. Right? So,
exactly.
But again, it comes down to prophecy. Christ prophesied of these different groups. And I was once a part of it. He says the Pharisees
yeah.
shut up the kingdom of heaven for those who will go in when they're not coming in themselves. That you understand, they got knowledge and history, but without the gospel of Christ. So all of it
yeah,
means nothing if they're not the remnant that gets in. And that's
exactly,
I'm talking about
that,
as an Israelite. Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, and you provide
that's a great
justification on that for myself. And even seeing the
yeah.
that Illuminati card that looked like the one guy, it's like, man, some of this was planned and they knew. So it's just
well, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
know,
it's airy that they were able to do that, but I don't know if there's any relation to those things, and I'm not going to allege it or think
right,
it. I'm
yeah.
just dealing with the doctrine that they're teaching is anti-Christ. I once taught it. Well, thank you.
100%.
I appreciate
no.
it.
Yeah, no, thank
right.
you. I did not expect the answer. Bless
thank
you. Bless you, elders, and a double honor to you.
And bless you, brother. You have a great Sabbath.
We'll see you at Passover.
Okay. I'll see you at the Passover, and yes, that will be the weekend of March 19th, and it's going to be great. So, and a matter of fact, it's crazy because it's going to actually, Elder Lawyer, we're going to be in the red with this academy, but it's okay. I mean, not the academy, the the Passover. We're going to be deep in the red, but hey, it is what it is. And we weren't going to go up on price for the people who are going to attend. We have to go into the treasury and make it happen, because I believe the Most High is going to send a blessing spiritually that will bring this church in the spirit closer together during this Passover. So, all right. So I want to, so Elder Lawyer, real quick, what's in store for the Hebrew? What can brothers and sisters hope to receive in this academy concerning the Hebrew portion alone, if you don't mind?
Yes, sir. Well, just to give a little history of going back to some of the earlier academies and the differences